You're listening to David Kaplan, weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Welcome back, ESPN 1000, on a very special day at this radio station. That's right. Carmen DeFalco turns the ripe old age of 43 today. And we go out to Warrenville.
Old man.
Twin Peaks.
Happy birthday, kid.
Old Happy birthday, Carm.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Carmy.
Thank you. Thank you.
John, how are you today?
43 years young. What's that?
I said, John, how are you today?
I'm fantastic. I'm reveling in the birthday of my compadre.
We're going to get a big brownie sundae, and Yurko's going to eat it.
No, I'm not going to eat it. It's Carm's to eat.
Merkin will eat it.
Can't believe it. I want the gals to sing a little happy birthday degree beer here at Twin Peaks.
We'll get some Truly, baby. That's what we need.
Whatever
a big
you
bucket
want.
Of Truly. Birthday Truly's on the table. Let's
right
go.
On the table. It's got to happen.
Let's do it. Put a candle on the top of one of those. Huh? But like a big candle on the top of a Truly Heart Seltzer.
A nice stick of dynamite. We'll put up there, maybe.
Let's celebrate. Maybe the Bears can get a win on my birthday. What do
That'd
you think?
That'd be awesome.
Pow.
It would be.
What does a Carmen DeFalco, one half of the odds couple, think of tonight's matchup? +3 with Chicago, the home dog.
I got no idea.
I always like the Bears better getting points. I don't bet Bears games, or at least very, very, very infrequently, very rarely. We're too emotionally invested. It's hard to sometimes separate
stay away from
our heart and our head because we love the Bears. I almost never bet the Bears as a favorite just because historically they haven't been very good as a favorite. Better last year, but as an underdog, not bad. My advice to Bears fans would be don't bet the game, just enjoy it and see if they can win a third consecutive game tonight to stay alive in the playoff hunt.
But a must-win situation.
A must-win, yeah. I also think Dallas is pretty desperate here, so it could make it a little bit of a tricky. And I think Dallas is, despite the 6-6 record, pretty good, with some good skill position players. They got some injuries.
They're underperformers. I think
they
we can agree that they're underperformers.
But, if I had to force to pick a side, I would probably, I like short week. The home team always, to me, gets the benefit
the
of the doubt. They have an advantage. When that team's an underdog in primetime, like they have a little bit of an advantage.
Both teams have had 7 days rest here.
Well, that's true. That's a good point, Yurko.
Yeah, both teams will be playing on a normal amount of rest.
Yeah, it's a different week because they played last Thursday. That's a good point. I would probably, if forced to pick, lean towards taking the underdog here, taking the Bears with the points.
Yeah, I'm taking the Bears,
period. Not something I'll be playing.
I'm not worried about an over and under in this situation. I'm just taking the Bears plus the points. I think the Bears win outright because they have to. You've got no choice. You lose today, the season's over. It's done. We put them to bed on Friday. That's what happens.
I guess they are more desperate than the Cowboys. Even if the Cowboys lose, they still have a chance to win that division.
They do.
The Bears Cowboys lose, they're still a half game in first.
Right, which is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, and the Bears are probably the more desperate team here. Because
we'll see if they play that desperate.
The minute they lose, they're done.
We'll see if the quarterback play stays at the level that it's at or does it find a way to subside.
Right. The Football Power Index says the Bears have the toughest remaining schedule in the NFL, and that's not a shock. With two road division games and the Chiefs and the 6-6 Cowboys, the Bears' opponents over the final 4 weeks are 31-17 on the year. So they have the toughest remaining schedule in the
NFL. But you knew that coming into the year.
You
looked at that schedule at the beginning of the year, and you said, hey, you better make hay early, because if you got to wait till late, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
They've put themselves in this situation. They've got to win games. That's the way it is, circa 2019 for the Chicago Bears.
So when you had to face a stud running back, Yerk,
Sanders. You think Barry Sanders or Emmitt Smith is a stud running back?
Yep. What is the key to handling a guy like Ezekiel, who's a beefier back and not as shifty as a Barry Sanders, but very, very good?
The Bears' defensive line, out of necessity, has had to kind of slant and swim and use a few more tricks on the defensive line than they've become accustomed to when you've got Akeem Hicks anchoring that side. Without Akeem Hicks, they've kind of had to do it with the smoke and mirrors. And those smoke and mirrors will continue today. Now, what you have to do is you make your initial move if you're not free to where you can go ahead and make a play or make a hit on the running back. You've got to be able to then fight back and fight pressure. And there's only one way to fight pressure, and that's with pressure. So put that in your brain right away. If you don't break free, you've got to fight pressure. So you could always play the hole also. If you're not in your hole, you can play the hole with the man to end up closing the hole. And just because it looks like you're reached doesn't always mean you're reached. And I'll break that all down during the Carmen and Yurko segment.
That's deep, Yurko.
Well, there's a bunch of different philosophies over the course of 20-some-odd years of playing football.
Just because it looks like you're reached, you're not necessarily reached.
Yes, because you can play the offensive lineman into the hole. Mm. But as long as you're square and you've got extension with your arms, there's a chance you can break off and make the play anyway or pursuit of the ball. So. Mm-hmm. There are a whole lot of theories out there, Carm.
Yes.
You know, they sound like they don't make any sense, but they make perfect sense once you listen to them all. And then you implement them.
You need to write a book about all your
football theories.
Kid.
That's
what
I'm writing a book
Because you even amaze your former coaches. Like, Mooch was stunned at Yurko's the principle of uneven
parallel lines.
Uneven parallel lines and the principles of verticality. And Mooch goes, I don't even know what that is.
Principles of verticality is something we coached in basketball.
What is it, Cap?
The principle of verticality is something we coached in basketball. When you would body up and get a defender, if your arms were straight above your head, you own the space on the floor to the ceiling or in perpetuity. But if your arms come down and the offensive player makes contact, the principle of verticality was violated. It's a defensive foul.
There you go. See, so get tall, get long and tall, right? Straight up and down.
And in football,
get vertical.
In football, it involves going long.
Going deep.
Nine routes. And then creating voids in the zone.
Yes.
Because you're willing to get the safeties on the back foot. Now, all of a sudden, you're going to find all types of space.
I love it.
Yeah. And the uneven parallel lines, I call it the Jerry Ball rule.
Right.
Because Jerry Ball used to like to get in there, penetrate 7 yards deep, and all they do is cut it back and cut up the hole that he was supposed to be at. So, though it looks like you want one defensive line, a yard and a half, on the other side of the line of scrimmage playing football from there. That's what you want. You want to be able to attack, then separate, and then flow to the ball, cause the running back to hesitate. Jerry Ball, because he was selfish and only cared about himself and not the team and the integrity of the defense, I'm not going to lambast him. I'm just going to tell you the truth. Because he did what he did, he compromised the integrity of the defense. Now, it was Spielman that usually bailed him out, or one of the Blades brothers back there, the strong safety.
Yeah.
They'd bail him out, and they'd play off of it. But when they couldn't bail them out and play off of it, they usually got gashed for a big play. So just some basic philosophies and theories.
Because he
over-penetrated. Right. Same thing happens with a defensive end that runs up the field hell-bent for election.
Right.
And all of a sudden they run a little like a zone play. They start the other way and they come back in because he's vacated his area or didn't have the discipline to play 1 or 2 yards across the line of scrimmage, then come down the line of scrimmage.
Right.
He then...
He's 8 yards in the backfield.
Right.
The play's over.
He sacrifices the integrity of the defense, and there you go. Everybody's doing the right thing. One guy decided he wanted to be cool, and he's up the field. And the next thing you know, you're getting gashed, and everybody's looking at themselves going, what did we do wrong?
Right.
What's wrong? What's wrong? It's one guy decided, unblocked usually, decided, hey, let me run to the quarterback so I could get a sack.
When you're unblocked, that's usually a telltale sign, right? You're like, something's amiss.
In the middle, if you're unblocked, you got a problem. Because you're going to get either hit in the ear hole from one side, hit in the ear hole from the other side, or you got a running back coming at your lower extremities.
Right.
Which is never a fun deal.
No, I can imagine.
Anytime you got a Sam Gash or a Lorenzo Neal coming
I love Sam
at your
Gash.
Kid, who doesn't?
Boy, that guy could play.
Oh, yeah. Remember?
Pullbacks for 1,000, Alex.
Did you guys read the Todd Archer piece on ESPN today about the Cowboys game in 2013 in Chicago?
Read.
Well, is it about how cold and miserable they were on Coach
Ditka's night? They were beaten before that game ever started.
Yes.
Like, the safety, Jeff Heath, said, oh, man, it was so cold. I remember thinking, getting off the bus, this is going to be rough. The long snapper said, we normally go out and kick in the pregame. We do 20 to 25 balls, then 20 to 25 punts after field goals. We ended up cutting it to 5 or 6, went inside and waited until the whole team went out. He said it was just brutal.
It was 8 degrees that night, though. It ain't going to be 8 degrees tonight. We got a nice day today.
It'll be 42. So
it'll be 36 at kickoff or 35 at kickoff tonight.
It's still a little chilly.
Well, it's chilly, but it's not 8 degrees.
Advantage Bears, though. That's what I'm going to tell you. Advantage Bears. If it was 50 degrees, then it doesn't matter.
In these same conditions in 2014, now that was like the end of the Trestman era and things had gone amiss terribly.
They'd gone awry.
But the next year, it was... like it's going to be tonight. It was a Thursday night game. It's the exact same scenario, almost to the day. and it was 35 degrees at kickoff, and the Cowboys had no problem with the Bears that night. So 8 degrees for a team from Dallas is a different story than 35 degrees. But, yeah, nobody wants – listen, you're from the South. Are you playing a dome and you got to play in 8-degree weather? Nobody wants any part of that.
You're not happy.
That's miserable.
Those hands are miserable. Everything's miserable. Nobody wants to catch a ball. You ever felt the cold pigskin?
Oh.
Smack up against your hands in that type of cold weather.
Sure.
Yeah, but now it's being thrown by a man.
Well, that's true.
I couldn't imagine. So, you know, Sterling used to wear the big scuba gloves, the big thick scuba gloves all the time.
Yeah.
And he'd wear them in practice to get used to them.
Yeah.
You know, most guys just throw them on, and then when they can't feel the tips, you know, you've got to anticipate the ball hitting. You got to know when to close down on that. Sterling would wear them all week. That way he knew it was going to be cold. He'd be good mentally to be able to handle the ball.
To me, the hardest thing about the cold when you're doing something physical is how hard it is on your lungs, no matter what kind of shape you're in. Yeah. And I remember like a few years ago, Yerk will remember this, we played Cheverini, our buddy Ryan Cheverini from Windy City Live. He used to do this charity event we did with the Hawks Alumni Association. We did an outdoor game at Rosemont.
At the time, it was MB Financial Park.
MB Financial Park, right, the outdoor rink. And we did it like the second week of January a few years ago.
It was cold.
And it was four degrees.
It was cold.
That's so brutal.
It was brutal. We played outside. And not that our bodies were that cold. Because, you know, you got your gear on. And once you skate a little bit, you start to warm up. But I remember when you were on the ice and you exerted a little energy and your lungs started working.
Taking a deep breath.
It felt like a knife going in and out of your lungs. Yeah. Like that cold air, when it's that bitterly cold out, is hard on your lungs, man.
Yes.
And it can be dangerous.
It's brutal.
That was the worst part about that night. You know, like sitting on the bench, you kind of got cold. But when you're on the ice, your body didn't feel cold, but your lungs burned. And, you know, for those of us that play a lot and you're in that kind of shape anyway, you're not normally experiencing that. Like, I'll never forget the sensation in my lungs. It felt like jabbing icicles into it. It was terrible. And that's the hard part of the thing. When you're playing in 8-degree weather, like, that's tough.
Hey, we are aggressive. We are action. We are the Wolves. Crosstalk brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Here's the best hockey deal in town. Get your fan 4-pack. Includes 4 tickets, 4 hot dogs, 4 sodas, and a popcorn. Just one low price. Fan 4-pack started at just $18 per ticket. Go to ChicagoWolves.com. Thank you to Rob Ninkovich, Tracy Butler, Dan Wiederer, Danny Zetterman, Chris Bleck. By the way, boys, I went to the DePaul game last night.
I saw that. I saw you tweet that. Was it fun?
So awesome. I'm highly recommending people go. And I just saw this cross. CBS does their own top 25 power ranking.
Yes.
They have DePaul 9th in the country.
What?
9th.
Wow.
They got 4 wins against power conferences. They won at Iowa, at Minnesota, at Boston College, and home against Texas Tech. And they're 9-0 for the first time in 33 years.
How about that? Good for DePaul. It's about time.
They've got Villanova coming to town.
I might go see that game.
Yeah, they got some good teams. Are they in the Big East? Is that where they're
yes.
at?
Yes.
Big East.
Yeah, they got the Big East coming into town, so that should be some exciting.
We should get
basketball.
A staff night together.
Well, I think that would be easy.
It's always fun.
You want to sit in the upper deck? We'll be the only ones up there.
They actually had a decent crowd last night, Yerk.
Did they?
Yeah.
I saw your video.
The lower bowl looked like people were going nuts.
The lower bowl looked like we had people in there.
How many people can fit in that stadium?
I think it's 12,000.
12,000?
Is it that many?
I'm thinking it is. You got to tell me.
I'll tell you right now.
I was only there for the Chicagoland Hall of Fame induction when I went in with Johnny Taves
big
and
time.
Hawk Harrelson.
You are the man. You know
you
that?
Know, mover and a shaker.
How
That's
many
what
halls
I was
of
doing.
Fame is that for you,
Not
kid?
Enough, I'd
That's
say.
Amazing.
Not enough.
I tell you.
Probably about 9-10 more. I'd like to go into the Croatian American Hall of
that
Fame.
That would be nice.
You know, sitting there with the Mahaloviches.
Right.
The capacity is...
I'm guessing it's somewhere around
10,387.
Yep, 10,387. Right.
They shouldn't have... Listen, if they keep playing like this, they shouldn't have a problem filling
that building.
Oh, that
place should be jammed.
Absolutely.
You know, that whole little area down there, I had no idea.
What's hopping?
It's hopping around there.
Every once in a while, there is a south side to the city, you know? Yeah.
I just didn't know there was bars and restaurants to that degree. God, yeah. A couple hotels, Marriott and a Hyatt there.
19th in Indiana, is that where that's at?
Well, you're right around there, Yerko, yes. I mean, you've had so much development go that way as the loop. Everybody kept just kind of going west and south, and everything down south through there has been developed and built up, and there's a lot happening.
You're knocking on Bronzeville's door right there,
You're
kid.
Getting close to Bronzeville. You're a few blocks away. Yeah. Love me some Bronzeville. That was the old. We used to take the L down to Bronzeville when we'd go to the stadium because You didn't want to mess with the red line. Everybody was on the red line. We'd go a few blocks east. You get off at, in Bronzeville on the green line. You walk over. Boom. Perfect.
There you go.
No, no waiting on the L. Man, what it's like waiting on the L platform on the red line after a Sox game is
tricks
brutal.
Tricks of the trade.
Tricks of
that's
the trade,
what
baby.
That is.
You know what, go
that's
ahead.
What we used to do.
You know what else was cool? To see some of the legendary, legendary might be stretching it. Some of the more popular names in DePaul history were there last night.
Well, who?
Like, Mark Aguirre.
Quentin Richardson.
Rod Strickland.
Terry Cummings.
Those are the legendary names.
Walter Downing.
Teddy Grubbs. Dallas
Teddy
Comedies.
Grubbs, there you go.
How about Brett Burkholder?
He may have been there.
Gary Garland.
Bernard Randolph.
Yeah. He may have been there. There might. Someone told me there might have been an Aguirre.
So none of the names we've just named were there.
How about T. Green?
T. Green.
I loved watching that guy play in the 80s when they were really, really good.
I remember a T. Martin, not a T. Green.
T. Martin, the Tennessee quarterback.
Yeah, that was
the best three-point shooter in DePaul history. You've got to remember Brad Neiman was there. Melvon Foster. There were all these guys. Dave Corzine, Joe Ponsetto.
Now he's a legend. I'd say Corzine's a legend.
There you go. I'll take Corzine. For 1,000.
It was really cool. And they had a bunch more, and they kept reading off the names, and people were cheering. I'm like, wow, I haven't been to a DePaul game in a while. It was just really cool to be back.
It's about time. I mean, geez, you know, we've only...
what are you waiting
basketball
for?
Fans in this town that remember when DePaul was great have been waiting forever. I mean, really, the last time they were relevant was 20 years ago, late 90s.
Lato was there the first time. He took a couple of teams.
They played Kansas in either 99 or 2000 in the tournament, second round.
Yep.
It was 99, I think. It was the year it was Q... And Lance Williams and Bobby Richardson
and Stephen Hunter
I don't know if Stephen Hunter was on that with that crew. He was later, I think. Cap,
I don't think
he was. I think he was a little younger than those
is
guys.
That Montana's head coach Pat Kennedy.
He was. I don't know where he is now. Is he still coaching?
I think
Montana?
He's retired.
But that was the last time DePaul was. There was truly a buzz about DePaul basketball. That's 20 years ago. That's 1999 for crying out loud.
I hope he's not a dead Kennedy.
No, I don't
that's
think he, is Pat Kennedy dead?
I don't know.
No.
I haven't
he's
checked
not.
That out yet, but boy.
So,
yeah.
1999-2000, DePaul Blue Demons went 21-12.
Yep.
They had Quentin Richardson,
Bobby Simmons,
Paul
Williams.
McPherson.
Yep.
Stephen Hunter.
Oh, Stephen Hunter was on that.
Rashawn Berno, Lance Williams.
What about the brother from DePaul?
That's Wilson Chandler. He was later.
He was later?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Stephen Hunter was. Good call. I thought he was a little younger than that crew. That's the last time they were really relevant.
That's
there was
a long, long
they
time.
Went to the tournament, though. York is right. They went to the dance with Lato the first time. Then he left for Virginia.
Yeah,
there
right.
you go. See?
Yeah.
So
they went one and done, didn't they, with Lato, I think?
Well, we were big fans of DePaul back
then. Cap, was Jerry Wainwright there last night?
Did not see Jerry Wainwright there, buddy. Wainwright. Sorry.
Why would Jerry Wainwright be there?
Well, he's a DePaul legend. Not really, but.
I'm just trying to figure it out.
It's funny. I get what Merck was going for.
Okay.
It's sort of satirical. The legends were there and was Jerry right there.
Yeah. You know? Wilson Chandler was at DePaul 2005-06 and 2006-07.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. Boy, I can't believe he's that old already. That's
isn't that
how
crazy?
Long
he's 32.
Yeah. Man, craziness. Time the brother flies. From DePaul.
That's right.
There you go.
Spike Lee had it.
Spike Lee nailed it.
He got the inside track on that that draft
pick.
Yes,
he did.
So, anyway, you guys have a wonderful show.
Okay.
Carm, you have a phenomenal birthday. What would
Thank
be
you.
The Carmen DeFalco dessert of choice for your birthday?
God, great question, Cap, man.
Mark that, Chris.
Yeah, mark down that great question, Chris. Oh, God. You know, I might say...
That's the first time.
I'm a big banana cream pie fan, you know. They don't have strawberry or rhubarb's out of season right now. I love strawberry or rhubarb.
French silk pie.
French silk. I like a good Boston cream or a French silk banana
cream. We
got
to get Flom to bring you a banana Fulfana tomorrow night.
Oh, I love that stuff, baby. I love it.
We'll get you one for the weekend.
A nice ice cream sundae, something like that, you know. I got a sweet tooth, so pretty much anything sweet will do.
Yeah, I'm a Black Forest guy on my birthday.
I'm not a big Black Forest cake. That's one. No carrot cake, no Black Forest. But other than that.
Give me an angel food cake. That's
and
all
I don't
I
like
need.
Angel. I've always found it weird that Yurko like angel food cake. Hey, you know, normally like an 80-year-old woman likes that.
Yeah, that's kind of boring.
Call me Mrs. Doubtfire
if you
want.
It's so strange.
They make you feel better. You can call me Mrs. Doubtfire.
Who likes angel food cake?
I like angel food cake.
It's so weird.
All right. Have a great show.
Thanks, Cap.
Thank you.
All right.
See you tomorrow.
Do your read, Yerky.
Yeah, introducing Brewhouse Legend Snack Nut Mix. It's the snack mix created for the craft beer loving crowd. So it's perfect for everything craft beer lovers like to do, like wait in line all day for a new IPA, or wait in line for another new IPA, or wait. I think you guys know where I'm going with this, Carm. Happy birthday, kid.
Thank you.
Brewhouse Legend Snack Mixes make your time in line worthwhile. It's available in craft beer-loving flavors like Hobson Pepper and Michelada. Find it at your local jewel or online retailers. They're the best thing for beer since beer. Brewhouse Legends, top shelf snacking.
All right, York, it's a truly awesome football Thursday.
It
is. It's week 14 in the NFL, and it starts tonight at Soldier Field, Bears and Cowboys.
Do we want to pop people in the mouth with some keys to kick
no,
it
we're going to do it in about an hour.
You want to
so.
Wait a little
we're gonna
bit.
Wait. We're going to do JD when we come back. We're going to
tease the audience.
Yes, we're going to do Adam Schefter at 1:30. Yurko's smoking hot keys at 1:15. Waddle and Sylvie do their show live here at
the
Twin
Peaks
in Warrenville.
Oh, wonderful.
So we'll crosstalk with them at 2. They'll be here 2 to 6. It's going to be a fun day. Come by and see us if you're in the area. We're getting ready for Bears and Cowboys. 312-332-3776. That's the number. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Carmen and Yurko.
Run into there by the forechecking Yurko.
On ESPN Chicago.
All right, happy football Thursday. The Bears and the Cowboys to kick off week 14 in the NFL tonight. And we're out and about one of our favorite places. Yurko's cracking a truly. Did you hear that? You got to do that again, Yurko. Hold on. Let me get the mic right by it. Later.
You got to get another one.
Get another one here. Truly awesome football Thursday.
You ready?
Yeah, go ahead. There it is. Did you hear that? Yeah, we got a whole bucket of them.
We ought to record that. Then whenever we need it, we can just hit a button and just do that.
All right.
Naturally, this one's yours, kid.
Oh, all right. Thanks,
you get the lime. I'll take the berry.
What a beautiful day.
Wild berry out here enjoying ourselves. Happy birthday,
Twin
kid.
Thank you very much.
Let me go ahead and do
that. I appreciate it. Cheers.
Any and all callers we get today, make sure you wish Carmen a happy birthday before
That's
we
not
start
necessary.
Off the festivities.
Mm-mm.
I'll tell people what's necessary and not necessary. Today it's your birthday. You got to celebrate.
Be nice if the Bears get a win on my birthday. It's Kyle Long's birthday. Happy birthday to Kyle. We share a birthday.
Happy birthday.
I think
goes
we're separated by about 10 years. How old's Kyle, you think? About 31, 32? I bet we're separated by about, I'm probably 11 years older than Kyle. Yeah, the big 4-3 for me today. So Eddie Curry's birthday. You know, we got some Chicago love.
Eddie Curry.
Yeah, happy birthday to Eddie.
Dirksen Middle School, Thornwood High School.
Yeah.
And then straight to the pros.
Yep, that's right.
As a number 4 pick, I believe Tyson Chandler was picked at number 2.
Yes, that is correct.
Tyson Chandler at number 2, him at number 4. They trade away Elton Brand to be able to get all that stuff.
It's Eddie's. Eddie and I share a birthday. And
Kyle's 31.
31, all right, so I'm 12 years older than Kyle. I'm an old man.
I once listened to Coach Scott Skiles say, how can Eddie get better? And he said, jump.
Yes,
how can he be a better rebounder?
Yeah.
Jump.
Well, and I'll tell you, the one other birthday that I always know on December 5th, because you kind of do that, right? You find out who's got your birthday.
Sure
Yurko's got a great birthday.
I got a great birthday.
I mean,
August 18th.
Real heavy hitters. Oh. When I was a kid, I was always most proud that I shared a birthday with Art Monk. Because when we were kids, Art Monk was a stud.
Yes, he was.
You know, there weren't a...
First guy to catch 100 balls.
Right. The game was so different back then. There was like Jerry Rice and Art Monk were the stud wide receivers when we were kids.
Well,
remember Art Monk's birthday is today.
Washington was running the counter OT with the Hogs.
That's right.
And the receivers, they had the little ones. Ricky Sanders was in that group, right? They had the little the Smurfs, right? Weren't they the Smurfs? Not Denver. Denver didn't have the Smurfs.
I don't know, Yurk.
I thought they had the little guys.
You might be right about that.
Back in the day.
So,
they had Jacoby, you know who, Russ Grimm.
Well, they had the whole
Joe
hog.
Bostic.
Sure, Joe Bostic.
They had a line of lines, too.
Oh, my God.
And
yeah.
Clint Didier. Clint Didier was the tight end.
Mark May. I mean, that whole line was phenomenal.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. Like 60% of that line is in the Hall of Fame, isn't it? I think three guys from that line are in the Hall of Fame.
I don't think
they?
So. I don't think Jacoby's in.
No,
oh, is he not?
Jacoby's
no.
not.
I think Grimm. I think
so,
Grimm.
So Grimm
and maybe Bostic.
And
maybe
Bostic?
Maybe Bostic.
Boy, I'm surprised Joe Jacoby's
no
not
Jim Lachey. Remember Jim Lachey came toward the end of that too, out of the University of Pittsburgh.
Do you know who shares a birthday with JD? Who's going to be joining us in a second?
Wayne Gretzky.
Yes.
Yeah.
And do you remember one day?
JD's got a good birthday day because JD is born on January 26th. So, like, if you're from Chicago, that's always going to be a day that we remember. Jade, and that's how it's so easy to remember JD's birthday. It's January 26th. It's the Super Bowl, but it's Super Bowl 20. You know, it's the great one's birthday. It's an easy one to remember.
There was one day when JD was filling in for Waddle or something. He was hosting with Sylvie, I think, or maybe with you. And I kept on bugging Wayne Gretzky to have
come
him
on
call
and say happy birthday.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he finally did.
Did he?
And I think he said at that point, you know, it's my birthday too today. Oh, I know why I did. I did it for that reason.
That is
for,
so great.
Yeah.
I love it. So we got a lot of football to talk today. JD's going to join us in just a second, by the way. He should jump on here any minute. We'll get an update from JD ahead of tonight's kickoff at Soldier Field. Of course, JD will be taking in the festivities. It's going to be a good night for football. Not too cold. Kind of like perfect football weather, actually. Maybe just cold enough to rattle the Cowboys a little. But it's actually a very pleasant day so far. What a start to the day. The sun is out. It's a little bit warmer than it probably should be at this time of year.
No, it's so probably exactly what it should be.
You think so?
Yeah. On December, exactly what it should be. I remember days before Christmas, a couple, maybe 7, 8 years ago, we were playing golf.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was in the 50s. We're all out playing golf before Christmas.
Well, 6 years ago, it was bitterly cold.
Yes.
And it was 8 degrees, and the Bears whooped the Cowboys. They wanted no part of that game. The next year, 2014, it was a mild day, and the Cowboys came in here. At that point, I think the Bears had sort of just waved the white flag. They stunk. They had given up on Mark Trestman.
Trestman was playing with his Legos and his Yoda machines and dolls.
The Cowboys came in here and kind of walked all over them. The Cowboys are the favorite tonight at Soldier Field. So the Bears, in primetime, to kick off the week, are the home dog. The Cowboys are a three-point favorite. The Cowboys have been favored in every game except one this year. The only time they were not a favorite was the New England game. That's it. They've been a favorite in all their other games. They haven't covered much lately. They are 6-6 on the year. The Bears have the identical 6-6 record. And the Bears also have, according to the Football Power Index, the toughest schedule of any team left here through December. The final 4 weeks of the season, the Bears have to play the 6-6 Cowboys. They have to play the 8-4 Chiefs. I believe the Vikings are 8-4 at this point, too, right, Yerk?
Yes.
And the Packers are 9-3. Yeah. Two of those games are road division games. So the Bears have the toughest schedule. They've got to win out if they want to make the playoffs, and it's got to start.
So when you win out and when you make the playoffs, you can sit there and you can be proud of yourself and say, hey, listen, we did it against the toughest schedule one could find. We won the games. We did it. Here we are. Hopefully we can find a way to make some noise in the wild card game, because that's where they're going to be if they find a way to make it.
The Bears are already down a couple of key defenders. Now, they should be getting Akeem Hicks back next week. He can't play tonight. Danny Trevathan is out. Are they going to be down a third starter in Prince Amukamara? Let's bring in Jeff Dickerson. He'll be at the game tonight. We get a final update here from J.D. ahead of the tilt against Dallas this evening. J.D. is brought to you by the Sportsbook at Ameristar Casino Hotel East Chicago, now open and accepting bets today. J.D. is at Dickerson ESPN on Twitter. And when a player is listed as doubtful, J.D., that normally means that player's not going to play. Just a 25% chance that'll suit tonight. So would you fully anticipate the Bears to be without Amukamara this evening?
Unless, Carm, and by the way, Carm, happy birthday.
Thanks,
my
buddy.
Friend, to you. And you get Bears Cowboys on your birthday on Thursday night. You are a lucky individual.
I am.
Unless that person, guys, is Brett Favre, who, if you all remember, the last game of his career against the Bears, he went from out to doubtful to starting.
To starting,
so
that's right.
I have seen those shenanigans in the past, but I don't think Prince Amukamara is going to fall into that category. So, yeah, I mean, that's unfortunate. You know, he suffered the hamstring injury after the Lions game last weekend because the Bears were back at the facility over the weekend getting ready for the Cowboys game here tonight. So probably what they do is they go with Buster Skrine, is my guess, in their base look. They have Kevin Tolliver play when Skrine has to bump inside and play nickel. Maybe a Duke Shelley gets activated to help out on special teams or what have you this evening. I know Amukamara hasn't had the best year. I mean, he's had a couple of bad plays. He got burned in the Lions game. But, you know, guys, this is a really good, you know, this is a Cowboys team that has some real weapons in the passing game. A quarterback that's not bad in Dak Prescott. You know, one of the best receivers in the NFC and Amari Cooper. So I think quarterback play is going to be at a premium tonight, and not having Amukamara, even though he hasn't played his best really the entire year, does not help the Bears' cause going into this evening.
So you really got to imagine you get a heavy dose of Tolliver then, right, JD? Because let's face it, I mean, how often are teams even in base defense anymore? I mean, normally, you know, you're going to have a screen covering the slot as the nickel guy anyway, right?
Yes. Yeah, I just think that's probably what they would do. You know, Tolliver is a bigger body. You know, Buster Skrine is obviously smaller, but he's had a good year playing nickel. I think that's likely what they would do. It seems like he's the next man up, but it's not ideal. And there are a lot of injuries. I mean, all the other guys, as you mentioned, Carm, have been ruled out. When you're not going to have Trevathan, you're not going to have Bobby Massey again at right tackle. Broniker is still out, and Taylor Gabriel is still out. Now the teams know that if you play man coverage against Anthony Miller, that you're going to get beaten probably with Trubisky. The Cowboys could defend him a lot differently tonight, not having one of your top three receivers. Again, just it doesn't help the Bears going into a must-win game. What we don't know the mindset of the Cowboys. And I told you guys I would try to find out from my buddy Todd Archer, who covers the Cowboys for us, what's up with the Cowboys. And his response was, they're in a bad way. I'm out of the prediction business. I can't pick anything with this team. So there you have it. He also mentioned that Jason Garrett this week described the Bears offense like the Eric Coryell offense. So apparently Kaepp made the trip down to Texas and tinkered with Jason Garrett's talking points during his press conference, because they're saying a lot of great things about a Bears offense that really has not done much this year to warrant such great things said about them.
And I agree with you there. Will the Bears and Nagy be able to commit to any semblance of a running game tonight?
Eric, I would hope so, but it's really hard to gauge what they're going to do on the ground, because every time it feels like it's a game that they would have a favorable matchup running the football, they don't run the football. I mean, I thought last week with Detroit, with the quick turnaround and the fact that Montgomery only touched the ball, we touched the ball here 12 times the game before against the Giants, that using him more and relying less on Mitch would be the way that Nagy would go, and he did honestly like the exact opposite. So I think they could potentially get the ground game going, but they would have to commit to it. The way they could get it going, Yerk, you know, is by getting off to a good start, which they did in Detroit and then gave it right back. I think ideally they want to build a lead and then use their run game and sprinkle that in and keep the Cowboys on their heels. But, you know, that really, what was that last week? I think, guys, that was the second time all year they had scored a touchdown on their opening drive, right, in the game against the Lions last week.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
It's not like they're getting off to these good starts every single week. So I love to sit here and say, oh, yeah, fantasy owners, it seems like, you know, it's December, the night game in Chicago, you know, Bears want to keep the Cowboys offense off the field. They're going to run the ball. Maybe it happens, but I don't have enough to go on to say, I guarantee you that's going to be the case.
Do they think that they are, I mean, I don't want to overblow the Jesper Horsted situation, believe me, JD, but, you know, just from an athletic standpoint, we keep hearing so many people rave about him, people that are close to Princeton. The two people this week, Kyle Brand, who always joins us, who went to Princeton and played football there, so he's close to the program, and then Reese Davis, whose son played baseball at Princeton with Jesper, yeah, raving just about his athleticism. And I've heard you talk about it, two-sport guy. In college, played center field, one of the most demanding athletic positions out there. Like, do they think they have found a legitimate target in the red zone, just a guy with some great athleticism that can finally be an added red zone target for them?
You know, Carm, I mean, well, do you think he'd be playing right now if the other guys were healthy or productive? I would say probably
question.
Not.
Yeah,
right?
That's a very good point.
He wouldn't be playing. But that all being said, a bunch of us got an earful about Jesper Horsted from Ross Tucker, another Ivy Leaguer, who did the national game last week for Westwood One. Biggs and I are sitting there with Fishbane, and Ross is going on and on about Horsted and the way he played receiver at Princeton and his skills in center field. I love the fact the guy played baseball in college. I think he's a great athlete, obviously. I think he's just kind of playing by default right now.
Yeah.
So how about maybe everyone just kind of holds off a little bit here, let the season play out. Let's see if he can stack some good games, play some more plays. I mean, he doesn't give you anything blocking right now.
Right.
So I think Nagy feels like he's limited in the situations you can use him in. But the catch against the Lions was great. That was a great catch.
Great catch.
But let's just treat it as it is. It was one really nice play, okay? And it's wonderful, but maybe if you can see two nice plays, three nice plays, four nice plays, a game with six or seven catches, if that's even possible based on the playbook, then I get a little more pumped up. But I think every time there's a little something, people want to blow it into a big thing. And I just don't think we're there yet, despite the fact that, yes, he does have some very, I think, impressive athletic credentials from playing two sports in college, no doubt.
Listen, I wish I was in that Qualcomm when it was a dollar before it went up to 800. I think, you know, people like to be in early on something. That way they see the rest of the value as it moves forward. So I tried to pick him up this week in my fantasy league. Nothing.
Somebody picked him up?
Get out of here. Really?
Somebody picked him up. I had tight end issues all year.
There have been tight end issues around the league, though. Yes. Think about it this year with the injuries. And,
somebody already snagged him up.
Searching for a tight end in fantasy has not been easy this year.
Look at that. Jesper Horsted flying off the shelves in fantasy leagues across the country. My goodness. What a world we live in 2019.
Kid, I got Trubisky leading me into the playoffs. You want to talk about a tenuous situation? I feel like I'm on that glass bridge that breaks underneath your feet.
Oh, and just to clarify, your fantasy playoffs, you have them leading them into, right? Not the real playoffs.
Not my real fantasy team. No, my fantasy football playoff team.
Yeah. Right.
You don't know that Trubisky's leading the Bears, actually, into the playoffs.
I made the prediction they're going to win the next four, Jurko.
Jurko thinks they're running the team.
I know. Johnny Sunshine has been out this week, and I like it.
You got to believe. If you don't believe, you can't achieve. That's what it's all about.
Ooh, that's a good one.
When we were 4-7, if we didn't believe we were going to go ahead and win, we won 3 games by 3, 1 by 1, 1 by 7.
That's crazy.
That's the way it works sometimes.
That's a total outlier, though, isn't it, Yurk? I mean, how many teams pull something like that
off? Of course it's a total outlier. But it was Dick Tron that came into our meeting that day and said simply this. Boys, we got to get the first one.
Maybe it's time for the
one in overtime against the Baltimore Ravens in Old Metropolitan Stadium. When somebody laid the little piggy on the ground, it was Vinny Testaverde.
Vinny, really?
Laid the piggy on the ground, and little Mike Hollis. You don't think I don't like kickers.
Yeah, you love Mike
kickers.
Hollis.
Little Mikey Hollis kicked it right through the uprights, and we won.
Maybe it's time for the Bears to join you as one of those outliers.
I mean, the thought of Yurko and Cap on that park bench together, Carm. Yeah. Sitting there blowing bubbles, hanging out, laughing, slapping each other on the back. I never thought we'd get to this point, but now that we're here, I kind of want to see how it plays out. I'm very intrigued.
I love it. Anything else we need to know for tonight, JD?
What else can there be except
know.
For the visual of Yurko and Cap on the park bench together? I mean,
that's the best.
My goodness. Yeah. I'm not Tracy Butler by many reasons. But it's a nice day out today. Yeah. It really is. I mean, pretty mild temps. And it won't be warm tonight, but it's not going to be freezing cold, I don't think, like it was the last time the Cowboys were here. And Todd Archer wrote the story today, speaking of Todd, about how, as we talked, three of us have talked earlier this week, how it was the second coldest game in Cowboys franchise history the last time they were in Chicago back in 2013, the Joshie McCown game. So it's not going to be quite as bad tonight, and we'll see if the conditions play any factor whatsoever.
All right, JD, we will get a wrap from you tomorrow, hopefully, and we appreciate the time, buddy. Thanks.
All right, guys. Take care.
Enjoy the game tonight. That's Jeff Dickerson. Follow him on Twitter, at DickersonESPN. Bears a 3-point underdog tonight against the boys. Total in the game is 43. Good kid. On a December night along the lakefront.
I can't touch the over-under, but I'm taking Bears plus the 3,
obviously. If I had to pick, I'd pick the dog here. I would.
Bears money line, is it appetizing or is it not even appetizing?
Sure.
It would need to be 130.
Yeah, but it can't be more than plus 120 or plus 120.
Yeah. I bet it might be slightly more than that, yeah. I'm guessing.
130. If it's plus 130, I could even envision putting a hundo or two. Let's just call it one unit.
One unit, baby.
On the Bears' money line tonight.
One unit player.
Listen, I've got to believe.
What do you think?
If I don't believe, it can't happen.
Yeah, I figured plus 139.
Yeah, more importantly, the Bears players got to believe that this thing can be done. I like the emergence of Anthony Miller.
I do, too.
I like Allen Robinson and what he's doing. If I can get anything out of the tight end position, I think I am. I like Montgomery when he's running routes, too, especially when he's going vertical. I wish they'd allow Tariq Cohen to go down the field a little bit more when he's running pass routes. You know, make it look like a two-back set with both of them in and put him at a wide receiver position.
Yeah, because normally what they do is he's still always catching the ball somewhere around the line of scrimmage.
So I got Robinson, I got Miller, I got two running backs in a split backfield. We'd call it red back in the old days. Split backfield, right? And then all of a sudden, I'd take both of them, I'd shift them out, forcing linebackers because you've got four defensive backs. Right. One linebacker is going to have to vacate at the very least.
Right.
Now that's where my mismatch is.
But that's – you got to – so you're saying you're going to catch the team in base defense, though?
Yeah, you're catching them in a base defense, absolutely.
Yeah. And then –
got a tight end, two backs, and two wide receivers.
Yeah.
Are they treating them like that, and they're going to take a linebacker out and put
I think when he's on the field, haven't most teams said we're going to put the fifth defensive back
so
on the
do you
field?
Lock a, do you then lock the safety on the other running back that goes out to cover the fourth receiver? You basically have dictated to them a coverage. It's going to be a single high or it's going to be a cover three.
Right.
You know, and then you can put a man in motion to see if they're playing man or they bump the coverage
and then
over.
It's incumbent on
and
Mitch.
Now you gotta recognize, now you gotta party.
Right.
Now let's party. I'm ready to party in that situation.
Ready to party too. What do you think the look ahead line is for next week for Bears at Green Bay?
Bears at Green Bay, I'd say it's Packers minus six.
Packers minus seven is the look ahead line right now. Yeah. Packers laying about 12 and a half this weekend at home against the lowly Redskins. If you want to join us, please feel free to ring us up. Thoughts on Bears Cowboys tonight and their chances of staying alive in this playoff race. 312-332-3776. Hit us up on Twitter. Yurko is at Yurko64. That's Yurko with a J, and I'm at Carmen DeFalco.
Guys, are you ready to heat things up this Christmas? Go with a win-win this year.
Luchu?
Oh, here we go, guys.
Luchu?
I've been waiting for this. Give her something that'll make her feel hot and heat up your holiday, too.
Blue Chew?
No. How, you ask, Carm?
Yeah.
With the super warm, world-famous Hoodie Footy from our friends. The Hoodie Footy is the ultimate solution. Yeah. Hold on. Oh, from our friends.
At Pajamagram.
Yes. Thanks, boy. These are put horizontally now across the line.
I don't understand.
It's hard to go right to left. I'm telling you. Let's face it, it's hard to be hot when she's freezing cold.
You're reading from right to left.
The Hoodie Foodie is the ultimate solution.
That could be the problem.
Because it combines the warmth of a hoodie with the coziness of footy pajamas.
You're definitely going to need
head
a blue
to toe. Warmth means she'll be cozy in no time, and it gets even better because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging. That's like icing on the cake for you because it means you don't have to wrap a thing.
You said cake, right?
Always backed by a 100% lifetime guarantee. No, when I read left to right, from the right side, I got to go all the way back to the left side of the page and then pick up the correct line.
So you're going the long way. What are you, a typewriter?
Yeah, exactly. We're lifetime guarantee. It's a lifetime guarantee, and delivery by Christmas is guaranteed right to left. So you risk nothing. You want more? Pajamagram is celebrating 10 years of Hoodie Footy. So right now, for a limited time only, you can save 10 American dollars on adult size Hoodie Footies when you use the code SAVE10 at checkout. So go to pajamagram.com today and use code SAVE10. That's pajamagram.com. Save 10.
Save 10.
And tell them Carmen and the birthday boy, Carmen, sent you.
Yeah, that's right. That was wonderful. That's as special as we're going to get, folks. We're live at Twin Peaks in Warrenville. Come by and see us. Waddle and Sylvie will be here later. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
We're at Twin Peaks in Warrenville. It's game day. Bears and Cowboys, and we're all over it. Join us.
We get you set for Bears and Cowboys, Waddle and Sylvie, at 2 o'clock on ESPN 1000.
Yeah, Waddle and Sylvie are on the way out here. We're going to see the guys in a little bit. We'll crosstalk just over an hour from now. Can't wait for that. This hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. York, here's the best hockey deal in town. You ready? Fan 4-pack. It includes 4 tickets, 4 hot dogs, 4 sodas, and popcorn for one low price. The Fan 4-pack starts at just $18 per ticket. So go to ChicagoWolves.com for info and to buy your tickets today. We are at Twin Peaks in Warrenville. Oh, my gosh. In the last year and a half, I mean, how many shows have we done out here? We love it.
Boy, I think we've at least done 4. I've done a couple of appearances here during March Madness.
Yeah, we did, too. It's so great.
Come out, we played that little Papa Shot basketball
here.
That's
right.
We had a party. We had a ball. One guy scored 137 points here.
Wow, that's good. Well, we got Truly Hard Seltzers, nice and cold. It's a truly awesome football Thursday because it's Bears and Cowboys.
I'm not a big drinker, but I like...
Oh, the Trulies?
Trulies,
come on.
Fantastic.
What's wrong? Yes. Nothing wrong with that.
Yes.
Also out here with the great folks at Bet Indiana, Alpamonte Buick GMC, and Twin Peaks. So all day, all the way till 6, because Waddle and Sylvie are going to follow us. Adam Schefter is going to join us at 1:30. Some interesting stuff from Get Up earlier today where...
We'll play that after 1.
We're going to play it after 1, and then we'll talk to Schefter about it. And, you know Schefter's take on firing coaches normally, especially a coach that was the reigning coach of the year. But I guess Greeny sort of intimated that maybe the Bears should consider that. We'll talk to Schefter about it when he joins us at 1:30.
He wants to get rid of Nagy already. It's interesting philosophy.
Well, Yurk, I mean, he's not alone in that. I mean, I don't think that's the prudent or pragmatic thing to do.
I don't believe.
You're the Browns otherwise.
You're in a good situation where you're firing a coach every 2 years.
Right. You're the Browns.
That's not good. And then are you going to let Ryan Pace pick the next one if somebody believes this is the wrong one?
Yeah, I'm not a proponent of that either.
Whether you like it or not, you've got to identify whether the quarterback's going to be the quarterback as you move forward. This quarterback we already know is not Tom Brady, right? He's not Joe Montana. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not a guy that you're going to build around. Can he be a serviceable quarterback?
Can he be Matt Stafford? I mean, forget about Tom Brady and Joe Montana.
There you go.
Can he be
Matt Stafford?
I mean, can he be Alex Smith? I mean, that was always sort of the comparison.
That's all you're looking for. You're not looking for anything out of it because you don't have it. It's not there. Okay, now your decision is, what are you going to end up paying this guy eventually if you decide that he's going to be your quarterback? You don't have to make that decision yet.
No. Fifth-year option time in the offseason, but as we've explained before,
it's not guaranteed.
The fifth-year is only guaranteed for injury. Now, if you did do it and he did get hurt, you'd be in a pickle.
It'd be problematic.
But it's only the fifth-year is only guaranteed for injury. So you could always take that off.
I mean, where are you going to put Nagy? I mean, Nagy's not going anywhere.
I wouldn't fire Nagy
right now. What are you doing?
I know that people are down on Matt Nagy. We're all down a little bit to some degree. I think we're most of us are probably a little bit down on the coach.
Remember, they got off.
I am not ready to fire the coach.
They got off to a 3-1 start. It didn't look good. 3-1 start. The biggest injury this team has had that's bothered it the most, it hasn't been Trevathan. It's been Hicks.
It's Hicks, for sure.
Kyle Long didn't bother him. They couldn't run the ball with Kyle Long.
Yeah.
So now they can't run it without him. The Massey injury is the one that's least missed.
Yes.
Bobby Massey being gone is allowing you to take a look at a right tackle that might be an inexpensive replacement for a guy who is ineffective.
We'll play the stuff from Get Up coming up next. Adam Schefter will join us at 1:30, and your thoughts are always welcome at 312-332-3776. We're live at the Twin Peaks in Warrenville. Come by and see us. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
It's game day, baby. Week 14 starts tonight in the National Football League at Soldier Field with the 6-6 Bears hosting the 6-6 Cowboys. What do you think the ratings for this are going to be? The last couple times the Cowboys have been on in prime time, you know, spots, the late afternoon kick in New England, the Thursday night Thanksgiving game.
Dallas.
Huge rating.
Chicago.
Dallas and Chicago. It's going to be a big night for the NFL.
Chicago.
Even though both teams are just 6-6, the Bears are a 3-point dog at home
but
tonight.
But there's something at stake. Carl.
There's a lot at stake.
There's
are
a lot
you kidding?
At stake here.
The Bears are, believe it or not, you know,
two mediocre
technically still alive.
Teams.
The Cowboys are at 6-6 are in the driver's seat in that pathetic NFC East
now. NFC least, we like to call
it. The NFC least, that's right. So there's a lot at stake. We are here at Twin Peaks in Warrenville. It's a truly awesome football Thursday this week since it's game day with Truly Heart Seltzer, Bet Indiana, and Alpamonte Buick GMC. And Waddle and Sylvie will follow us.
Right. It's the
here.
Daily. It's the daily double.
It is the daily
it's
double.
It's like in the old days when you went to see a movie at the Parthenon in Hammond, Indiana, you got a double treat.
Right.
Like if you're going to go see Star Wars, then you had right before it Don Knotts in a Disney movie.
Back
you know?
In the day.
Herbie.
Right,
you know?
Herbie.
Herbie
yeah,
the
right.
Love Bug.
You had the double feature
yes.
or the daily double for Cub fans back in the 80s. Bobby, Dernier
how about
and Ryan Sandberg.
Right. How about the great Tim Conway and No Deposit, No Return?
I love No Deposit, No Return. That's a Disney classic.
It is.
A pair of bank robbers with a couple of young kids.
Exactly.
Love No Deposit, No Return. Great movie. Good call.
I saw that right before I saw Candle Shoe with Tatum O'Neal.
I don't think I've ever seen Candles.
Well, it's a beauty, Carm. You've missed out if you haven't seen it yet.
So we're talking lots of Bears, lots of Cowboys. Adam Schefter, bottom of the hour at 1:30. Yurko's keys in about 15 minutes. Schefter was on Get Up this morning. We want to play this exchange. This started with Greeny talking about the Bears
right, real
making
quick,
major
real quick.
Changes.
I got you. Real quick, though. What's their theme music on that show?
Get Up? I don't know.
Yeah, should be Get Up, Stand
Get
Up, Stand Up for You Right Now.
Give me Bob Marley?
Set this up for me now.
Oh, well, this is Greeny on the Bears because it's Bears-Cowboys tonight, and this is a little back and forth that the guys were having on Get Up. This is about 3 minutes long, so listen. Schefter reacts pretty strongly. We'll react, and then when Adam joins us at 1:30, we'll talk about it. But this was Get Up this morning.
The Bears are the teams playing for their season. They may win out if they were to win out, and their schedule is brutal. Even if they were to win out, they might not make it. So what we've talked about here, there's the schedule. They got to go to Green Bay, they get Kansas City, and they got Minnesota coming in. So their schedule is brutal. Shefty, I'll put this to you in the form of a question, because we talked about it earlier. I think there has been a feeling for a while that Matt Nagy and Mitchell Trubisky don't really go together and might not both be back next year. What is your sense?
Well, despite the fact that you want to fire them this morning, let's let the season play. We're putting up the numbers and the schedule, and it just occurred to me, and I didn't even know this until it flashed up. The Bears have the same record as the Cowboys.
Right.
They're both 6-6.
Right.
Dallas is fighting to win the division, and I know that division is down. But Chicago's 6-6. You're ready to fire the head coach. And again, Mitchell Trubisky against substandard defenses has played better the last couple. Let's just see how it plays out the last 4 weeks. Like, maybe they take care of business against Dallas. And maybe they get on a little bit of a roll here. Maybe they show some things that they haven't shown this year because this team has struggled. And it was your Super Bowl pick, Greeny, as
yes,
well, right?
Correct.
So, again.
In defense of Mike Greenberg, like, I understand the nice way that you want to say we'll wait and see. Yeah. But in order to prepare, you must think ahead and think of every eventuality. And I think entertaining the idea of making a coaching switch is not crazy. I'm not saying, and I don't think Mike is here campaigning to fire the coach in the same way that he may do for the Jets, but he's just saying that it's worth considering when all these things are lined up that maybe Rivera and Cam together could come in there and recreate the great defense and Cam-based offense that they had success with in Carolina.
Go ahead, D-Wood.
Okay. You guys are talking about a man in Matt Nagy who was coach of the year last year, and now we're on to wholesale changes in Chicago? Like, what world are we living in right now?
Six and six.
I don't think anyone's arguing that it should happen. Just saying that it should be a possibility. And the idea that he was coach of the year last year, so what?
Here's what I would say.
Coach of the year is an award that's based on like how writers feel about the coach. It doesn't mean that he's actually a good.
Here's what I think a lot of people in Chicago would say. Is that they traded up to take Mitchell Trubisky with the number 2 pick in the draft, forgetting who he got drafted ahead of. You can't reach
that.
But he has regressed terribly. The fact that he's played better the last 2 weeks covers up a little bit the fact that he was probably the worst starting quarterback in the NFL the first half of the season.
And that's where we get back to Dominique's point about planning. The Bears have to be planning to come up with another quarterback alternative, whether that's somebody to challenge Trubisky or overtake him or supplant him. That is the plan right now.
And to me, that's where the focus should be, looking towards the future. Because the one thing you can't do if you're the Chicago Bears, don't waste this defense.
Yeah.
Okay, you poured a lot of resources into this defense, and I'll be damned if I'm going to let Mitchell Trubisky waste away this defense.
I think we agree. I think the most obvious move is to do that. I would agree that that's the most obvious move, but that doesn't mean you should consider something else. And I do think that that defense is special, but they haven't been playing great either, or as great as we expected them to play so far this season. So they're not without blame.
They had to hang on for dear life last week to beat a Detroit team that was quarterbacked by David Blau. I mean, I think these last 2 weeks against
David
the Lions.
Blau.
And the Giants are. But let's just see what happens tonight. Let's see, because this is as mediocre as the Cowboys are. This is a step up in class in their last two games.
I'll just say it's a good thing GetUp's not on in the Bears facility.
We can say whatever we want. They're not watching.
All right. So that was this morning. They spent considerable time talking about the problems with the Bears. I will agree with.
Didn't the Bears make a comeback last week?
They did.
Down and they made a comeback.
They did. Well, I think that was the Green's point.
I didn't feel like they were holding on for dear life.
You won by four. I mean,
I understand what you won for, but you made a comeback. You made a heroic, a wonderful comeback.
I do agree with. I don't think that the Bears should be contemplating firing Matt Nagy, nor do I think that's even entertained. That notion's been entertained up there. I don't know that. I haven't asked anybody. I haven't gotten that from any sort of quote unquote Bears insider.
I know where you're heading on this.
But I think when Dominique Foxworthy says, so what if he was coach of the year? Like, I do agree with that. Who cares? The writers decided that because the Bears had a great season after being miserable under Mark Trestman and John Fox, they won 12 games. And the writers say, yeah, Matt Nagy's the coach of the year. Like, that doesn't mean Matt Nagy's a good coach. I do agree with that. Okay, like, who cares that he was the coach?
I thought you were
going to
agree with Shefty's point of how they've got to, no matter what, still make a plan for the quarterback.
I totally agree with you.
You can't worry about the sensitivities of the quarterback.
Here's what I don't like. What I don't like is when it's too easy to say, fire the coach. Well, he was the coach of the year last year. Big deal. That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean that the guy can actually coach. You know who can coach? Bill Belichick. Because he's done it for 20 years.
Yeah, but there's teams out there with real issues.
I understand, and I don't think, I don't think Matt Nagy should be fired. I've been saying that for weeks. I would not fire the coach. I wouldn't even think about it. I would like to give him a chance with a competent quarterback.
But you're saying being last year's coach of the year guarantees you nothing this year.
It doesn't matter. Anyway, you're right about what Schefter said, too.
Yes, 100%. Plan for a veteran quarterback to be able to come in here no matter what the sensitivities are of the quarterback. I don't care if Mitch doesn't like it.
Either do I.
I've got a game plan for what if Mitch goes down in the first week of the season. I need to have a veteran guy that can go ahead and take this thing over. Chase Daniel has proven to be a two-game guy. Two games. That's what I can get out of him. I need somebody that can carry the the carry the offense for the better part of 10 games if something happens.
If I am the general manager and I see my defense, I don't care if my quarterback's feelings are going to be hurt or if he is not mentally strong enough to handle real competition. I cannot concern myself with that. You have an inexpensive quarterback on a rookie contract. I cannot worry. I cannot concern myself with this defense and some of the weapons the Bears do have offensively if I'm going to hurt the feelings of my quarterback. And I have to do what's in the best interest of the team.
And through 12 games, the Bears don't have as many turnovers. The Bears defense, they haven't caused as many takeaways. They haven't gotten as many takeaways.
They're 14th in the NFL, Yurko. They're still top half, but they're 14th in the NFL in takeaways.
They don't have as many sacks as they had last year.
They do not. Their sack rate is definitely down.
Their sack rate is definitely down. Yet, they've given up less points this year than they did last year.
Correct.
They've given up less points. So, on Sundays, they're much more effective at keeping teams off the scoreboard. Which, guess what?
Is the
most important thing. Stopping teams from scoring so your offense can go ahead and get the ball and score.
And what is a reasonable explanation, Yurko, as to why their sack numbers would be down a little?
Well, the reasonable explanation is you haven't been up.
Thank you.
You haven't been up, so you haven't been in an obvious pass-rushing situation.
Think about the two different seasons that we're experiencing.
Yes.
And how many times last year the Bears got to pin their ears back and rush the quarterback because teams were down chasing points.
It's not even raw numbers. Probably the pass attempts against them at the end of the year are going to be down because more teams are running the ball because they're up, right? That's a natural conclusion that one could go ahead and make. So of that being down already, the obvious pass rushing situations are down even more dramatically than that would be.
If I'll do the whole like what if thing or like if I told you thing. We do that often, right?
Yes. If I told you
at the start of the year that in December the Bears defense would be 7th best in the NFL in yards per game, 4th best in the NFL in points per game, 8th best in the NFL in defensive DVOA. You show me the Bear fan that would have been upset by that. Raise your hand.
Nobody's
upset. If you would have said, what? That defense stinks. 7th in yards per game, 4th in points per game, 8th in defensive DVOA. There are three stats for you in which the Bears are in the top 8 or the top quarter, right?
Yes.
That puts you in the top 25% of the NFL. Honestly, show me a show of hands that would have been upset with those types of results out of the defense. I keep hearing about, this defense just isn't the same.
And I don't see any
hands. They weren't going to get 36 takeaways. And we told you that. All offseason, we told, you're being a hater. No, it's impossible to get 36 takeaways in back-to-back seasons. That doesn't mean that the Bears defense can't be very, very good. And guess what? Here we are, 12 games into the season, and the Bears defense is very, very good. And if the offense was at all competent, it wouldn't be a 6-6 team. It wouldn't be fighting for their playoff lives. They would be securely in the playoff picture in the NFC if the offense was at all competent.
So we've been waiting for the offense to be able to catch up to the Bears' defense. I'll make a statement here right now. If the Bears can score 24 points every single game, the Bears will win 4 games. If the Bears' offense, with the help of the defense, obviously, but if the Bears' offense scores 24 points in each of the next 4 games, the Bears will go 4-0. That's how confident I am that the defense...
That they'll hold every opponent to under
that? Right, as long as Trubisky's not throwing the ball.
Even the Chiefs?
Even the Chief. Even the Chief.
That would be the only one where I'd say... I'd give you the Lee Corso. I'd say not so fast.
Even the Chief, kid.
Okay.
Absolutely.
You're
100%
very confident.
Positive.
I like it, Mirko. You're very
positive. If the Bears can score at least 24 points every single game, the Bears go 4-0. You heard it here first. I'm the guy. Put myself out on the limb. I won't put nothing at stake. I'll just make that statement. That's how confident I am in the Bears' defense.
There's just,
but the offense hasn't proven they can put 24 points on the board.
And, look what David Blough did them. David Blough had 2 good drives against the Bears at the start of the game, and maybe they were a little sleepy, and they were dreaming of their turkey, and they figured, David Blough, this will be a cakewalk. And then
somebody
realized, okay, let's get our heads out of our asses.
They only had 10 players on the big play to Kenny Golladay.
I know. Yeah.
They had 10 players.
Were they sleeping?
Like, yes, they were sleeping. They also didn't know what he was.
Yeah, maybe they were just sleepwalking through those first 2 drives. After that,
They didn't know what David Blau was. They had no idea what he was. You didn't have a ton of film on him. You had to go back to college to find something on the kid.
Five of the next eight Lions drives after those first two.
Three and
five eight. Of the next eight, they had 5 yards or less
I gotta
of
be
offense.
Positive.
It's, I mean, it's like, what
Thursday.
Are we talking about here?
It's game day. I've got to be positive going into the game. Now, they might crap the bed tonight. And if they crap the bed tonight, brace yourself. Brace yourself for tomorrow.
What, are you going to go nuts?
Because tomorrow it's not going to be pretty.
Are you going to
100%. Carm, I got my spoon in my hand.
Are you going to Russell Crowe them? Unleash hell?
100% guarantee that the Bears go out and they win tonight.
You're guaranteeing it? You're going
100% guarantee that they win tonight.
Oh, you are so confident.
What am I, the only guy that can read here? What am I?
No, you got your keys.
What am I, in Spain?
Throw it to Yurko's. Throw it to Yurko's open for the keys.
This is Yurko's Keys to the Game.
Trubisky stepping up, fires down the sideline. Robinson makes the catch.
Yurko gives us what to watch for in this week's Bears game.
And it's intercepted, and it's Eddie Jackson. Under pressure again. Can he get away? No, he can't. Of course it's Mac.
Yurko's Keys to the Game, only on ESPN 1000.
It's just a great call. Of course it's Mac. Yes, Yurko's Keys are brought to you by Alpamonte Buick GMC. Visit the all-new Alpamonte Buick GMC on Grand Avenue for all the great deals and incentives today. Yurko, I ask you, Bears hosting the Cowboys, what are the keys to the game?
Carmen, I'm glad you asked.
I know you are.
Key number one to a Bears victory on the Soldier Field down on the lakefront against the Dallas Cowboys tonight. They've got to help the corner that's going to take care of Prince Amakamura. Yeah, is it Kenny Tolliver?
Probably Kevin Tolliver.
Kevin Tolliver, the
Kenny.
Two.
Call him Kenny if you like.
Hey, two, the second. Don't deny him a second.
Yeah, he is the second.
All right, he is the second. You're going to have to find a way to help him, whether it's with the pass rush, getting on, rolling somebody underneath in coverage, you know, to make sure any throw going his direction is going to be a difficult throw to make, but you're going to have to help him a little. You're asking for a lot. If you're going to play right left where Fuller stays on his side, and Tolliver stays on his side.
Which they normally do.
Right. Well, guess what Dallas is going to do? Dallas is going to say, here's Amari
Cooper.
Here's Reggie Cobb or Michael Gallup. We're going to put them in
or
the slot.
Randall Cobb.
Randall Cobb. What I say, Reggie, same guy, Tennessee. I loved him, former same teammate guy. Of mine.
So
okay, Cobb, 18. Either way, you're going to come after him with a combination of routes, and you're going to try to confuse the youngster.
Yeah.
So you can see that this club might try to be left-handed today in the passing game. It wouldn't shock you. You've got to anticipate that they might want to be left-handed and roll, Carm. Look at me.
Roll.
Roll the coverage.
Roll the coverage.
Roll the coverage that direction.
All right.
Because that's what, and guess what? That means the weight of the world gets put on Fuller's shoulder. And he's a Pro Bowler. And he's paid $15 million a year.
He's got to do his
one-on-one. He better be able to handle it.
He's got to handle his one-on-one.
Got to handle your business.
Yeah.
And in this case, it's coverage business. Key number two. How do you help him? You help him with the pass rush. I have not seen much out of Leonard Floyd. Goldman gave me more sacks and more pressure last year. I like to see Goldman have himself a big game. But if I'm going to put the onus on a $15 million quarterback, I got to put the onus on a $22 million outside linebacker that you picked up in a trade. Khalil Mack on a Thursday night is going to have to show up and create the havoc.
Yes.
And when I mean havoc, he needs to be a presence on every single play. I don't need him getting a sack on every single play, but I do need him being chaotic.
Good Cowboys O-line.
I need him to cause catastrophe in the backfield. I need a catastrophic effort out of him against the offense of the Dallas Cowboys. Key number three. If I said it once, I'd say it 100 times. If you provide the protection and you use the principle of verticality, you give me four verticals and get this team on the back foot. I'm talking going against Dallas and charge. Charge. Good things can happen when you throw the ball long, okay, including an interference penalty.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm looking at.
Amen.
Get them on the back foot early. Send guys deep. You send two deep. You send two crossers on cross-country routes. You release a back as your, like, last-ditch guy to go ahead and throw the ball to. Mitch Trubisky, use your legs. I demand it. He's got to run the ball. If he's in trouble, hoof it. What you do then is you keep that first level short if he runs the ball. The first level short, you're running deep patterns. The second level, or the final level, deep. You've got nothing but voids running around the rest of the day in there. Okay? I want to run people off. Okay? I want to put people behind the first level in front of that second level. And I promise you, good times are going to be happening for the Chicago Bears. Okay? And those are the keys to a Bears victory tonight.
And hopefully it's a good night for Leonard Floyd. I mean, Thursday night football seems to be his thing. Prime time, he's usually pretty good.
Carm, I would have thrown a key four in there that the Bears need to run the ball, but I have no faith in Matt Nagy sitting and consistently want to run the ball. And some of the runs he calls drive me absolutely crazy. Why the quick trap has never been utilized, I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
Some of the run schemes, it does make you scratch your head. They just don't have the old eye for it or what.
I've been scratching my head for 13 weeks sometimes.
I know
it's driving me crazy, but I anticipate good things tonight, man.
Okay, I hope you're right.
I am very positive on the Chicago Bears. I want this brought back tomorrow, along with the keys.
Okay.
When they each come into fruition and they come true, and the Bears get a victory, I want a montage with a "We are the champions, my friend."
Do you know who the NFC special teams player of the month for November was?
Sure I do. Corduroy.
Cordarrelle Patterson. Maybe he continues that into the month of December. That guy's a special teams ace, man.
I like that guy.
He's fantastic.
Listen, whatever weaknesses he has, he doesn't care. He just goes out and plays.
Yeah, I know.
And he covers. And he hits.
Everything.
He's a smacker of people.
He's a really good special
teams. He smacks people. He'd be like my grape jelly.
Yeah.
Smackers with a picture of Corduroy Patterson on there.
It's like a play off of Smuckers.
Off of Smuckers. Yeah. Smackers. Like you know what I'm saying?
That's good, Yerk.
I'm an idea man. Call Starkist.
That's pretty good.
Absolutely.
When we come back, Adam Schefter will join us to talk Bears and go around the NFL. Read left to right this time. It'll be a little bit easier for you.
We all put off making those changes that we know we need to make. Maybe your doctor has told you your blood pressure is too high, or you need to lower your cholesterol. There's always some reason why it's too difficult, time-consuming, or expensive. Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating provides you that simple, no-nonsense, affordable solution. It's delivered directly to your door with one simple phone call. Their meals are specifically designed with your health goals in mind. All meals meet the guidelines set forth by the American Heart and Diabetes Associations. Plus, they're delicious because they are prepared by a classically trained restaurant chef. So make that change that you know you've been putting off and take the simple step that will help you be around longer for the ones that you love. And let me tell you what's a tremendous Christmas gift idea, guys. They've got gift certificates for purchase that are great for the holidays, great for the kids to buy. Mom and Dad, if you want to keep them around a little longer, you're going to have to try that Seattle Sutton plan. Call 800-442-DIET. Log on to SeattleSutton.com. That's Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating, feeding you what you should be eating for the rest of your life.
All right, it's Carmen and Yurko. Adam Schefter is next. We're live at a truly awesome football Thursday event at Twin Peaks in Warrenville. Waddle and Sylvie, follow us. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
You keep on.
Football Thursday, we're live at Twin Peaks in Warrenville. We're going to talk to Adam Schefter, I think in about 5 minutes he's going to jump on. We'll go around the NFL a little bit, talk Bears and Cowboys for tonight as both teams fighting for, I don't want to say fighting for their playoff lives. I mean, the Bears certainly are. For the Cowboys, it's not as dire because, let's face it, the NFC East is a bit of a dumpster fire here in 2019. I mean, 7-8 wins is going to win that division, so it's more important for the Bears tonight. They are the underdog, and that hasn't changed much since the line came out. Unfortunately, betting the Bears this year has cost you a lot of money. The Bears are 3-9 against the number.
Wow.
Yeah, 3-9.
I got my numbers from my poll today, you know, the 50 on, 50 empty squares.
Yeah.
5-2.
5-2 is tough.
5-2. It's the second time I've gotten 5-2 this year. I had it against the Saints, too.
That's not good.
You know what happens when you get 5-2?
You need a field goal and a safety in the first quarter.
You know what happens when you get 5-2? Nothing. And it's not even first quarter. We only do a half and we do the final.
Oh, half in the end of the game? That's even tougher.
I see 5-2. You know what I think? I'm like, geez. I mean, what am I doing here?
Yeah, you're screwed.
And then when I've had 7-3 and 6-3, it's not even remotely close. I mean, not even remotely close.
All right, should we throw it to Adam open real quick? We could get his open, or are we just going right to Adam?
It's time now for Adam Schefter to join Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Everybody knows that Mitchell Trubisky's time in Chicago is coming.
If you want NFL news, Adam Schefter's the man to break it.
He was good, but he was inconsistent. Keep in mind, you know, this is a quarterback that was drafted in the same draft ahead of Deshaun Watson, ahead of Patrick Mahomes, and it gives you an idea of some of his ability.
Carmen and Yurko talk with Adam Schefter.
Oh, boy.
Hear Adam Schefter exclusively on ESPN 1000.
That's right. He joins us each and every Thursday. And it's time for Adam Schefter. He is on Twitter, at Adam Schefter. And he joins Carmen and Yurko. Now we're live at Twin Peaks in Warrenville on a truly awesome football Thursday this week as the Bears and the Cowboys play tonight. Good conversation and debate you guys were having on Get Up this morning. We played that about a half an hour ago. It's amazing how things change in just one calendar year in this league. But we've sort of grown accustomed to that in the NFL. Now people are ready to chase Matt Nagy and Mitchell Trubisky out of town, Adam. It's kind of crazy.
I was surprised by that. Like, I wasn't expecting those guys to go there, and that's where they went. I'm like, come on. Like, what are we doing here? Like, that's crazy to me. But that was how some of them felt, which, again, you know, a year ago, as we pointed out, you know, Matt is the coach of the year. And now you got people there that are getting like, what is that? It's the world we live in. You know, people are prisoners of the moment. They don't always want to be patient and all that. So anyway, it is what it is.
Hey, when you have to talk for 4 or 5 hours a day, sometimes you come up with anything.
Right.
You come up with a talking point.
But I think Adam nailed it, though. Like, we are prisoners of the moment.
Yes.
That's a great way to describe it. That's just the way we kind of – it's beyond sports at this point, isn't it? That's just kind of the way we live life right now.
Well, it's the way our world exists. Like, this everything is the greatest, the best. We want it now, you know. Information comes in quick. Our food serves quick. We can microwave. Everything's like that in society, right? Like, you know, you want to ride, tap Uber, boom. Like, everything's at your tip of your fingers when you want it. Okay, I want a new coach. Okay, right now. Okay, well, it doesn't always work like that in sports.
We live in an on-demand world.
Who comes into this game with better momentum or in better shape?
The Bears or the Cowboys?
Yeah. Which one of the two? Both 6-6. One underperforming, one underperformed, and now is kind of playing a little bit better. Dare I say, Mitch Trubisky is playing better quarterback or the best quarterback of the best quarterbacking of his season.
Well, the Bears have been playing better than the Cowboys. The Cowboys have lost two straight games to the Patriots and the Bills. They've lost 3 of 4 games if you throw in the game against the Vikings. So when you lose 3 or 4, when you're trying to put away the division, you can't say that team's playing better football than the other one unless the other team hasn't won at all. And Chicago, I think, has at least shown signs of life. Like, they play pretty well against the Giants. They play pretty well against Detroit. And you could say, oh, it's Daniel Jones, it's David Blau. I don't care what you say, and I don't care who it's against. Like, you can't tell me the quarterback didn't look better. Now, to do it tonight against a tougher defense, that will show us something that would be meaningful, I think. But they still have been playing better as of late. And us, you know, when I was doing Get Up this morning, I'm sitting there, and they flash up the records of the teams. I'm like, whoa. I don't know why I didn't realize it. I'm like, the Bears the same record as the Cowboys? Wow, okay.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy, too, because, I mean, the Cowboys have the second-best yardage differential in the NFL. They've got the third-best point differential in the NFC. But they're 6-6. I mean, they win the stats in a lot of games, but they're just 6-6. It's very true. Adam,
is there extra juice in the city on a day like this when they're playing the Cowboys?
I think a little bit. You know, the problem is we've gotten to this point, and you know, Yurko's been very positive, and you're going to obviously find a lot of optimistic Bear fans that still think, they can run the table.
25% of our fans think they can run the table.
Yeah, only 25% though. I mean, it's just. I think the juice got sucked out of the season when they lost that Rams game the way they did, and the offense has sputtered for much of the year the way it has.
And the other thing is, and I don't pay attention to this, but what is the line on tonight's game?
The Bears are a 3-point underdog.
And see, what's amazing to me about that is that the Dallas Cowboys are given this benefit of the doubt that they really don't deserve. And I don't know why that is, but you know, you talk about teams being in trouble or teams that have not performed up to their expectations. And it seems like everybody just expects Dallas to just win that division no matter what.
Yep. Well, if you look at it, too, I mean, they've got a great quarterback that's leading the league in passing yardage. You got a running back that everybody considers a stud running back.
He's got good weapons.
You've got three wide receivers that you take a look, okay, who are you going to isolate on, and can the other two beat you? Yes, they can. They outgain their opponents
considerably
by 1,100 yards on the season.
Try 1,300.
All 1,300 yards. All those stats dictate that you should be better than 6-6,
right.
And yet that's where they find them. That's why everybody still loves the Cowboys.
You know, I just people see, you know, Dak and Zeke and Amari, and they say, okay, well, they're going to win when they have to, and they haven't. They just haven't.
Adam
so
Schefter.
We'll see if they can do it tonight.
Adam Schefter's our guest. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. I want to get back to a few Bears things, but since we're talking about the Cowboys, just real quick on the Jason Garrett stuff here. I mean, like, he's been on the hot seat for 5 or 6 years, it seems,
yeah,
like
at least.
But is Jerry doing too much? Jerry Jones doing too much right now in the way he's talking publicly to kind of undermine him, and is that hurting or fragmenting this locker room at all?
Well, listen, Jerry's being Jerry, and Jerry talks all the time. And the topic du jour is Jason Garrett, who's in the last year of his contract. You don't often see coaches in the last year of their deal the way that Jason Garrett now is. And because he's in the last year, because it's the Dallas Cowboys, and because we've heard speculation about Jason's future for, like as you said, the last 5 or 6 years, it seems like. I mean, every year it's a topic of conversation. Every year it comes up, and each of these years he's found a way to survive somehow. And when you lose 3 or 4, it goes right back to the coach. So that means 3 times in the last 4 weeks, Jerry Jones has been asked to address Jason Garrett's future.
Right.
3 times in the last 4 weeks. And if they lose tonight, it's going to be a big topic again. Okay, and every time they lose from this point on, it'll be all about Jason Garrett. This has become a referendum on him right now. And so whether that's fair or not, it is what it is. It comes along with being the coach of the Dallas Cowboys, and you know, that's just how it goes.
When you discuss the offseason, or you think about the offseason for the Bears, and if they will or will they not add another quarterback, like, are you going on just kind of what you've seen in your gut? You talk to so many people and you're so plugged in. Like, are you kind of hearing that they're convinced internally that they do need to bring in another veteran quarterback to compete with Mitch? Like, what is the off season going to look like in terms of adding a quarterback to this roster?
I think they have to make that decision, right? Do you want to bring in somebody to basically overrun Mitch? Do you want to bring somebody to compete with him? Do you want to bring in somebody to back him? Like, what are you looking for? And I think that's a decision they'll make after the next 4 games when they see the full body of work. I don't think they've made that decision yet. What if he rallies his team to victory in 3 of the next 4 games, 4 of the next 4 games, and somehow they eke out a wild card spot? Like, would that affect it if he played well? I think it would. I think if he played real well down the stretch, I don't think they're going to be as aggressive courting somebody else. But if he struggled and didn't make plays and they lost games and came up short, they, you know, they're going to have a discussion about that and how to handle it and what to do about it. Right? So, yeah, in a way, just like we're seeing coaches coach for their future, I think there are players playing for their future too.
Will Ron Rivera get a job this offseason if he wants one?
Well, I think at the very least he's going to get included on a whole bunch of interviews. I think he'll be on the head coaching circuit. Now, whether that turns into a head coaching job or not, we'll see. You know, I think we'll get 6-7 openings this offseason. We usually do.
Right.
And I would expect that he'll interview for a bunch of them. Whether he gets one or not, that's hard to say, being that, you know, I don't know who else they're interviewing. I don't know what they're looking for. I know Ron will interview well. He's a great man. And I think he'll be in the running for a head coaching job, and we'll see whether or not he can get one pinned down.
Are the Browns going to make a coaching change, you think, in the offseason?
I think that they're going to – again, I don't think a lot of teams have made these decisions yet when we're in a critical part of the season. But I think if Cleveland comes up short, I think that organization will discuss that, yes.
Has Mike Tomlin done some of his best coaching work this year?
See, and this is a perfect example, okay? I'm glad you brought him up. Because 1 year ago, all the people that were calling for Mike Tomlin's job, they wanted him fired. Can't control Antonio Brown. Team's falling short. Game's passing him by. Can't keep up with the player. Weren't those the comments 1 year ago about Mike Tomlin?
Yeah.
They were. And 1 year ago, all the people on the Bear, they wanted Kyle Shanahan fired. Not getting it done. Not turning it around. And so
Lynch was in trouble too there.
But this is what I'm saying. Like, let's let these things play out and see where they go. They change quick. Well, why do we need to make instant? And that's what I was trying to say to Greeny on the show this morning when he wants to fire people. And like, okay, a year ago we got the coach of the year. A year ago Mike Tomlin can't coach. A year ago Kyle Shanahan should be done. A year later, Tomlin and Shanahan are coach of the year candidates. Matt Nagy should be fired. Like, what are we talking about? But you know, either the guy can coach or he can. All these guys have shown that they can.
Hey, you're a Michigan guy, right?
We're going to fire him too now?
No, we're not firing him.
But
firing him. Is he tired
of Michigan? No, I know. I'm just kind of busting out of chops because we're talking about firing coaches.
But will he move to the NFL if he's got an opportunity?
Listen.
It'd be his choice. His choice.
I have not heard him being let go from Michigan. I have not heard him being interested in the NFL. I have not heard an NFL team being interested in him. That's not to say it can't happen and won't happen, okay?
But I
understand anything can. But I think that's so much more of a fan and media-generated topic than it is a real topic.
But we know what it's like at the college ranks when you're at a place like Michigan with the kind of clout that the boosters have. I mean, like... Mm-hmm. The natives have to be growing a little restless, right? Like 9-2 seasons are great for almost everybody, but when they can't compete against Ohio State, like that's a real problem in Ann Arbor, isn't it?
So should teams have fired their coach every year when they can't compete with the Bulls and Michael Jordan? Like Ohio State's at an unbelievably elite level. So because you can't beat a school that nobody else can beat either, you should fire your coach?
But that's different than the pros, though. It shouldn't Michigan be at the level that Ohio State is at?
Well, they were for a long period of time, and that's what's very frustrating to a lot of Michigan fans, that a school that they would beat, their fair share number of times, just can't even compete with the team right now. Just can't compete.
A lot can still happen in four games. I mean, we have the whole month of December.
We do.
But, like, can Lamar Jackson almost take a knee here for the MVP? What do you think?
Well, I don't think he'd take a knee, but I think if Lamar Jackson plays the way that he has, I mean, it's going to be his award. Like, it's... Yeah. It's his award to lose right now. I don't think he'd take a knee because I think, again, being prisoners of the moment that we are, let's just say Patrick Mahomes lights up New England and then plays unbelievable down the stretch and they win the debate. Like, maybe he gets some support. If the Seahawks win the number one seed in the NFC, Russell Wilson will get some support. If Lamar struggled in the final month of the season, then, no, I don't think he won. Like, Carson Wentz was the MVP until he tore his knee the first week in December at L.A., and then someone else won the award.
Yeah. So, if McCaffrey ends up with 2,500-plus, total yards.
What about Michael Thomas if they're the number one?
Michael Thomas is a good one, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so you got to close. You got to close on these awards. Yes, Lamar Jackson is, I think, the overwhelming favorite to win the award, but he's still got to have a December.
So, yeah, when it comes, well, a couple more things, then we'll let Adam go. Adam Schefter joining us on ESPN 1000 on the Patriots. Like Waddle and I have always said, I'll be happy to be late to that funeral. Like,
the 10-2 funeral.
Like, I'll declare them done when we officially see that they're done. You know, like, I just think that they have, beyond a reasonable doubt, earned the benefit, right? Like, should we really be looking at the Patriots now saying there are some serious kinks in the armor here? Like, that offense really does look pedestrian, Adam. I mean, would you still consider them, a big-time threat to come out of the AFC? Do you still view them that way?
I agree with what you guys said. I don't want to be the one that is putting dirt on their grave right now because they are the most decorated franchise in the history of sports. They've done something that I don't think has ever been done. That is more impressive than anything that anyone has ever done in sports from a team standpoint. But they are not the same as they were last year or in previous years. They're just not. I mean, I think anybody that watched them can see that they're missing Trent Brown on the offensive line. They're missing Rob Gronkowski at tight end. They're missing Chris Hogan at wide receiver. Not that Chris Hogan was this unbelievable player, but you don't just get N'Keal Harry, your first-round pick, or Jacoby Myers, an undrafted free agent, to step in and play at that level, and you lose Danny Amendola, and you lose Brandon Cooks, and you lose some of these guys, it just doesn't roll on. And again, and I'll give you another thing. Their margin of error, we would agree, is smaller than it was before in other years, correct?
Yeah.
I think we all agree with that.
Yes.
Okay? So guess what? When the margin of error is smaller, you don't even have your reliable Pro Bowl kicker anymore. In fact, you don't even know who's going to be kicking Sunday against the Chiefs right now.
Right.
We don't even know that. So you're without a kicker, a difference maker, in a key spot. And they've already lost to the division leader in the AFC South. They've already lost to the division leader in the AFC North. And now they're playing the division leader in the AFC West.
Yep.
If they were to lose that game, they would have lost to the division leaders in every division in the AFC. And guess what else? They might have a situation where they could be tied for first place in the AFC East after Sunday with Buffalo.
With Buffalo, yeah, that's true. They haven't been in this position into December very often during this run.
And by the way, and how funny is this? We're talking about a 10-2 team as if it's in trouble.
I know.
But it's not that it's in trouble, because it's still in a good spot, and you still don't pick against New England in key battle-tested spot. But all I'm saying is they're just not the automatic surefire bet that they've been in other years. That's all. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when was the last time we were in December and we said, hey, maybe, you know, whatever other team in the AFC East has a chance? It's kind of crazy. Adam, excellent stuff as always today. We appreciate it. Enjoy Week 14. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
All right, buddy. See ya. That's Adam Schefter, at Adam Schefter on Twitter. Mike and I are back tomorrow night. Mike North and I, Eric, right? We've got Odds Couple tomorrow. Sports gambling for the weekend. Championship Sunday, the NFL. And a couple weeks ago, we introduced our brand-new sponsor on the Odds Couple, VegasScoresAndOdds.com. Now, that's the home to Mike and his handicapping prowess, picking it over 70%. VegasScoresAndOdds.com is your online source for up-to-the-minute scores, odds, and sports betting lines with daily free picks and selections with analysis and recaps. They've got everything there that you need. Call 800-813-9646. That's 800-813-9646 for some big game info against the spread free on a recorded message line, or go online to VegasScoresAndOdds.com for more info. We are live at Twin Peaks in Warrenville, a truly awesome football Thursday. Waddle and Sylvie are here. We'll crosstalk with them in a little bit as they get ready to do the show here 2 to 6. We're getting ready for Bears Cowboys on Thursday Night Football on ESPN 1000.
We're at Twin Peaks in Warrenville. It's game day. Bears and Cowboys, and we're all over it. Join us.
We get you set for Bears and Cowboys, Waddle and Sylvie, at 2 o'clock on ESPN 1000.
The boys are here. Waddle and Sylvie have arrived. Twin Peaks, Warrenville. That's the place to be.
Waddle was just abusing you.
Yeah, he was. We were doing the video for their Insta page. And
birthday spankings?
He gave me what I wanted for my birthday. Was a hockey fight. So he put my hood up on my Bears hooded sweatshirt.
Nice.
And he started pummeling me.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Thank you, Tom. It's nice to get pummeled by a Tom Waddle.
Well, Tommy's very combative. I mean, Tommy can get after it.
So the guys are coming up. We're going to cross talk in a little bit. We'll talk Bears.
So, Carm, before you get to what you want to get to here, I've got Bovada up here right now.
And, Bovada's up. Okay.
You know, I need to make some little money. I had a little bad night last night.
Yeah, so, you Merkin had a bad beat last night. He had Wisconsin money line
first half.
And then NC State hit a shot at the buzzer.
Oh,
half-court shot.
Half-court
shot. Banked it in.
That's awful.
That's called a bad beat because Wisconsin had taken a one-point lead, I think, right?
Right.
And that stunk. The overhit in the Virginia-Purdue game, Purdue won by like 30. I mean, Virginia, high school teams, they can't, like, the high school teams score more than Virginia. They score 40 points.
They won the national championship last
year. But I mean, 40 points? They're unwatchable, aren't they?
They are, right now.
40 points. In a college basketball game.
That's crazy.
For tonight's game, who would you favor? Who would you say would be a good bet for first touchdown score? Allen Robinson is one of the favorites at 8-1. Amari Cooper, 7-1. Zeke is 3.5-1.
You're not. I mean, 3.5-1. Like, Zeke's the choice, but why bet?
Do you take a flyer on Trubisky at 30-1?
Well, that's not a bad bet. Him running it in or a quarterback sneak.
He's got one touchdown in the last year, guys.
Again, that's a flyer. You're taking a flyer on the 30-1 shot. If I'm going to put a shekel or two down on somebody, I'd rather put a shekel down at 30-1. Gets down to the goal line or scrambles in from the 25 because they're playing man coverage. Everybody's got their back turned, and the next thing you know, he darts off.
My bet would be Amari.
Worth a gamble to me.
That's where I'd put my money.
Worth a gamble to me.
What else you got up there, Merck?
Dak Prescott is 16-1. So
16-1. I wouldn't go with Dak, though. Go Amari.
Do you like what about the first half? Who do you like in the first half? First half is Cowboys -1.5.
Yeah, -1.5. Yeah.
-150 on the money line.
I'd probably play the Bears in the first half. I think I would. They've been a better
third quarter team.
They've been a better second half
coming
team.
Coming out of the halftime, they've been able to score points.
I don't know what to think of Dallas because as desperate as they should be, I feel like Jerry Jones more than ever is really undermining the coach. Like when he said earlier this week, while he's on national, or it might have been his radio show in Dallas maybe, but I mean it gets picked up nationally, he's praising the coach's abilities and he says, I'm pretty confident that Jason Garrett will be coaching in the NFL next year. Like, think about that. Like, the owner is out there saying that. All these guys hear it. You know, regardless of what they're going to say, they all hear it. They all know it. Like, I wonder what that does to the psyche of the team at this
point. I've been around coaching dysfunction. I've been around when somebody was going to get fired. It's not good. The atmosphere is not good.
See, I mean, that's coming from Yurko, who's been in those locker rooms. Like, you'd think that Dallas would be realizing the opportunity that they have. Okay, somehow things have gone sideways in the last month. They're 6-6, but they still lead that division. Like, they got to know, hey, it's ours for the taking. This is ours. But I just wonder, with all that's happened in the last few weeks and the way Jerry has handled this and the things he's saying publicly about Jason Garrett, if that's not affecting them. I'd feel so much better. I hate to say this because nobody likes it when it's 10 degrees. I would feel a lot better about betting the Bears tonight if it was 10 degrees. You know, like I said, the Bears, you've burned money this year. They're 3-9 against the spread, guys.
That's tough.
3-9.
But getting points, aren't they a little bit better getting points?
Yeah, a little. Not much. I mean, 3-9 is 3-9. But they are always a little bit better of a play as an underdog, and they're getting 3 points.
And if you just break it down, okay, simple.
Break it
down.
Well, who's the better team?
Who's the better quarterback?
Dak Prescott.
Who has the better running back?
They do.
The Dallas Cowboys.
Who has the better skill position players?
They do.
The Cowboys. Well,
who has the better defensive line?
Probably because of the injuries to the Bears, the Cowboys. You got to admit, Quinn and Lawrence and who's the other kid? Quinn and the D-tackle, DeMarcus. The young kid from Nebraska. I'm blanking on his name. The kid from Nebraska. Oh, my God.
Is it Mikey Murray?
No. Mikey Murray.
He went to Nebraska.
I know. Robert Quinn and DeMarcus Lawrence and the D-tackle, the young kid from Nebraska. They've got 18.5 sacks, guys. The three of them, I mean, they're formidable. Without Akeem Hicks, I think it is Dallas that has the better line, and they get after the passer with four, and that's always a benefit. When the D coordinator doesn't have to blitz to dial up pressure, he's in position. Malik Collins is who I'm blanking on.
Malik Collins, thank you.
Collins is who I'm blanking on. Those three are pretty formidable on that Dallas D-line.
I mean, special teams probably give to the Bears, right? Dallas kicker is just as bad as the Bears kicker.
The kicking around this league in general, if you're not named what's-his-face, and I know that's
Justin Tucker.
Yeah, Dustin Tucker.
Yeah,
if you're not Justin Tucker, and they barely use him anymore, they're not kicking anymore. I love it. Everybody, and Robbie Gould maybe.
Like Robbie Gould's had a bad year.
The kick, well, it's more on the holder, they were saying, the snapper, right?
Oh, okay.
The kicking.
Don't tell me how rocky the waters are.
I know, that's
right.
True.
Just bring the ship.
The kicking in this league is horrific.
It's garbage.
Garbage. Did you see last week when they punted, when the Texans punted? I think it was on that first or second drive that they had.
I did not.
When the Texans punted, it was their first punt with Lamar Jackson at quarterback since week 9.
Talking about the Ravens or the Texans?
The Ravens. Did I say Texans?
Yeah,
excuse me.
The Ravens.
The Ravens, excuse me. When the Ravens punted, I think it was on their first drive last week, it was the first punt since week 9 with Lamar Jackson at quarterback. That is a phenomenal statistic.
It is. As a 2017 game, right? Final kick of the game, they end up winning in Baltimore. Baltimore's game last week against San Francisco.
Yes. It was 2017.
Yeah, it was 2017. Final kick of the game. They end up kicking it. They end up winning the game.
Correct.
I think that game bodes well for San Francisco.
Yeah.
Very competitive on the road.
Very.
Yes.
I agree with you.
Yeah. That bodes well. If you're San Francisco, you're looking at that film, you're probably looking at a couple places where, hey, things could have been a little bit better for you.
Jimmy's got to stop being careless with the football.
Oh, that's
he's got a little
him.
Cutting in him, Yerky.
Listen,
again, he gets,
him.
You know, he holds the ball down here. He's
more
he's,
importantly,
and all of a sudden it's getting swatted out.
More importantly, it's got a little David Craig in him. David Craig with the small hands, fumbling all the time.
Cutty.
You've got to take care of the football. Ball security is number one. If you're in trouble, pack it up and go down.
I mean, yeah.
Pack it up and hit the deck. It doesn't make a difference.
hold on to that piggy,
yeah,
right, Yerk?
And he keeps, that thing's important. That's the thing that matters, right? That football.
That football matters.
Bounces crazy ways, but it does matter.
It's hard for the other team to score when you got the ball. It can't be giving the ball away. Crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie is coming up next. We're live at Twin Peaks in Warrenville on ESPN 1000.